Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Talk of Our New Humanity. I am your host, Karina Stewart, and we are joined today by Michelle Perkins. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Karina. Hi.
So let me tell you guys about Michelle. First of all, I just want to say her and I got recently connected, and I just really resonated with her spirit, with her essence, and the work she's doing. And so I invited her into this conversation on Money is Love. And so just want to give that personal golden star. You know, I just really, really love Michelle and love what she's doing. So Michelle, though, she's got a rich background. She is the CEO and founder of Limit Free Life, a business coaching and personal development company dedicated to helping men and women discover and transition into optimal careers or business ventures that satisfy their souls as well as their financial desires. That's exactly what Love Money is about. A former CPA and business consultant, Michelle combines strong business and finance expertise, personal experience, managing transition and entrepreneurship with an intuitive coaching style, 15 years working in several of the best corporate environments, highlighted the fact that so few people were truly enjoying their work. And I just want to mention a couple of the things. I mean, Michelle has a lot of background, but, you know, really pertinent to this conversation is that she's also a certified money mindset coach, which is devoted to illuminating and shifting the money beliefs that often drive financial decisions and impact earnings and wealth generation. This is a foundational piece of her coaching, as money decisions so greatly impact the changes her clients want to make. So, again, Michelle, welcome. I'm really, really excited that we're having this conversation.
Thank you. I am, too. It was very exciting to meet you over the phone and connect so quickly with somebody who has had an interest in this just like I did. So I thought it was kind of cool the way we met and quickly seemed to understand each other.
Yeah. And that, you know, it's amazing when that happens, isn't it? It's like you just know, like, oh, there's a real resonance there, and we're going to do more together. So, you know, I just in reading your bio, I really love the strong truth that you state in there about seeing how many people are simply not doing their soul's work. That's pretty profound.
Yes, I think it is profound. I think it's, in some ways, I think it's kind of crazy in this day and age because there is so much opportunity. And so, you know, for people to feel so stuck or to not be sort of looking for more meaning and purpose and happiness at work, given that that's a third of our lives, it doesn't really make that much sense. I think in some ways it's a holdover from the way people used to work, where you stayed in a company for 30 years and then retired.
I know. That kind of makes sense. It's like, so what's going on here? Are we just stuck in an old pattern that's so outmoded now and not quite really awake to that fact?
Right, and I think the money beliefs really come into play there as well, because I think there is sort of an ingrained idea that you work long and hard and put as much money away and save up for retirement, and I think that's still very much of a belief system people have. So,
It's true. So what I'm wondering, how did you break that mold?
It's very interesting. I was always searching in a lot of ways for that, you know, soul connection to work, in part because I watched my dad make a huge career shift in the middle of his life because he was very successful as a dentist, an orthodontist, and which he did because his parents told him to do that. And about midway through his life, he was finding himself really unhappy with that and wanting to do the thing he had always wanted to do from the beginning but didn't have a chance to do, which was go into research and be a scientist. So in the middle of his life, he went back to school. He started over. And I think I saw the transformation in him and recognized how important it was for him to get out of something that was starting to really depress him and go into something that was feeding his soul. And he had a great career after that. And there were a lot of changes and some financial difficulties, you know, when all that was going on. But the overall message to me was, what you do for work is really important to your happiness and your and in the end, the money came again, and you know it all worked out well. So it was a good lesson, good thing to see in real life.
Yeah, and how that's such a great example of how powerful the examples that we're surrounded by, particularly as children and as adolescents. Those examples, you know, our parents and their beliefs and how they lived and the decisions they made really shape us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you were fortunate because, you know, your dad was, you know, conscious to his own happiness and, you know, made other choices. So he gave you that example. And I'm just thinking about how many people don't have that.
Yes, I agree with you. I think we take these money messages, though, and that was sort of the career message, you know, do what you love that has meaning for you so you can be happy. But along with that, there are these other money messages, I think, that I ended up with, and not by any fault of my parents. I mean, they didn't talk about this, but I just interpreted things. And so in my mind, I still had some money beliefs that were somewhat blocking me. Things like, well, people who do good in the world and are, you know, out to help people don't necessarily make the kind of money that other people make who are really just going after money. I mean, I had some strange beliefs that were not serving me.
Yeah, and I love that you say they were strange beliefs, because when you were believing them, you didn't think they were strange. You just thought it was real. And then when you get to the other side of it, you're like, well, that was a weird thought. Why did I ever believe in that?
Right, and you really don't even know that they're beliefs. You just think, well, this is the way it is. I mean, you have to become conscious to a point to even know that there are beliefs behind it and thoughts behind it and that you're programmed in a way. So
how does that work? How do you you know, cross over that line from this is just how it is to, oh, wait a second, these are beliefs that I'm making real?
Right. And I actually think in my case, I had to be awakened to that by my coach, actually, who was very knowledgeable in this area. And I was under the impression with myself, because I had a traditional money background and I was educated and I worked in corporate finance and accounting, so I thought, hey, you know, I know how money works. But I wasn't doing a good job at one point in my life, doing quite a poor job, actually, at handling my finances. And I kind of woke up to the fact that all my knowledge about money and what to do with it was really not driving my decisions at all, and what was driving them were these beliefs and emotions around money. And a coach that I worked with helped me to see that there were beliefs behind it and why those beliefs were causing me to make the decisions I was making, and that really changed everything. And then I could stop feeling badly about it too, because I was thinking, you know, here I am, somebody who knows money, so why am I in this bizarre financial situation? But once I understood the money belief and money mindset portion of it, I realized what was going on, and then I could do something about it. So it was invaluable.
Amazing.
To me.
That's like really cool, because, you know, I can imagine, you know, okay, wait a second, I'm a professional at this. Why can't I figure this out? I know the tools. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And where I think that's really relatable to the common person out there that gets up, going to the job, you know, the common professional you know, who feels they're following what they were taught to follow, right?
Mm-hmm.
What they were educated
mm-hmm.
on. You know, there is a model out there that's, you know, been given to us as the, you know, success model in life. And
mm-hmm.
and yet it's just not working.
Right.
And I think
exactly.
there is that, like, shame, fear, like self-judgment, self-criticism. Why can't I figure this out? You know?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And then it just undermines everything. And money is so foundational, really, to everything. And like it or not,
mm-hmm.
it comes into play in all our decisions all the time. So
mm-hmm.
Having kind of a difficult adversarial relationship with money makes that really difficult. So I love what you're talking about, which is something that I talk about as well, moving from that adversarial relationship to a relationship
mm-hmm.
that is more loving. There are a lot of steps, I
mm-hmm.
think, before you get to love with money. You have to be
totally,
you have to be okay
totally.
With it, and you have to be friends, and then maybe you know, if you're if you're conscious enough, you can actually, you know, develop that love relationship. But it's it makes all the difference in the world. Money doesn't take on the same feeling at all when you're in that place. So.
Yeah, it takes, you know, first taking the bite and charge out of it, like you said,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is part of that, you know, the shame, the fear, those really, really heavy, dense, you know, charged up emotions around money that, you know, can really limit us and just keeps us spinning in,
right.
you know, in our heads, in our minds, trying to fix it, trying to solve it, you know, really trapped. And, you know, I will give a little pitch here about, so this is our last, essentially what we're in, like the last week. We end, the summit ends on October 25th. So there's still time to sign up and get the interviews. To sign up is thekeystoyourfinancialfreedom.com. And from there, you'll start getting a daily email. And I'll be doing a replay the first weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, right after it ends. So all the interviews will be available, and you can pick and choose which ones you want to hear. So if you're looking to, you know, work on your money consciousness and align yourself out of the fear money and into love money, it's a really great place to start, just to get into, you know, a greater awareness about what's possible. So all that said, I want to ask you, Michelle, about, you know, what are you seeing in your clients and, you know, what have you seen in your own life about how those steps can work? Because it's not, you know, it sounds like you had a really cool, you know, like there's stages that we go through. Maybe just walk us through, like, I don't know, the first, like, two or three stages of what might happen when you decide you want to transform your relationship to money.
Right, right. Okay. Well, even that term, you kind of have to accept that and become okay with the idea that you have a
mm-hmm.
relationship with money, which is not the way we think of money. Money, I think most of us
right.
would think of money as this thing, and we earn it and we spend it, and, you know, it's kind of a pain in the neck. But
yeah.
in reality, we do have a very strong relationship with money, and it includes a lot of feelings and emotions and just patterns and habits like we just talked about. But
mm-hmm.
If you think of it as a relationship, then you can deal with it like a relationship. So like any relationship,
yeah.
you need to focus on it. You need to pay attention to it. You need to be respectful of it and happy about it and just develop the same kinds of things you would when you develop a relationship with a person. Spend time with it and look
mm-hmm.
at it. Don't avoid your bills, you know, for 2 months and then be horrified
mm-hmm.
by what you see. And so
mm-hmm.
I think a lot – well, to go back to your original question, the steps that I like to go through and that I've been through myself that helped me
mm-hmm.
were to, like you said, gain an awareness. Awareness is everything. Once that has to be the starting point. So,
yeah.
And I use an archetype system, an archetype assessment, and a way of looking at your habits and patterns and your beliefs through the lens of particular archetypes. So,
mm-hmm.
Once you know that your top archetypes, you'll get a very clear picture of who you are around
mm-hmm.
in the world of money. And
mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. For me, one of my top archetypes is a nurturer. So I will do a lot of things and spend a lot of money and make a lot of decisions to help take care of other people. That isn't necessarily, you know, in cases, the smartest way to go financially, but that's how I'm driven. I mean, that's where my decision-making those are the values that it's based in. So I'd like to first get that awareness, understand the archetypes, understand the habits and patterns and belief, and then recognizing that you can change these things is really important, because people will ask me, well, you know, so I know what I do. Well, so what? You know, how would I possibly change that? I've been operating that way for years. But most of us can change most things, and this is falls in that arena as well. So, of course, you can change your beliefs by thinking different thoughts and taking some different actions. So recognizing that you can make those changes is really important. One of the other important things is getting a lot of clarity around what it is that financial freedom really means to you, because it's very, very different for everybody. And, you know, to say, well, to be financially free, I need to be, you know, a millionaire and I need to do this and that is, you know, that's not necessarily what is going to make you feel free. So to really figure out what you need to feel free, and it may be far less than you think in terms of earnings. And so that's a very good place to go to get really clear, because you have to know where you want to go, obviously, to get there. And then strengthening that relationship. Again, working on it, spending time focused on money and all the different aspects of it, and the strategies to do the things you want to do. And then, of course, there is that the basic financial practical things that you should know. So no matter you know how fantastic your mindset is, if you know literally nothing about how to manage your money or how to budget or how to, and I'm not a giant budgeter, to be honest, but these things are crucial to at least know about, so that you can make a choice as to whether you want to do budgeting the regular way or make up your own way. But some aspect of managing money and understanding how it works is, of course, important to financial freedom.
Absolutely. So I love the system you laid out there, and I can see how it would really help you to, you know, really just do an inventory and dig into your money relationship and where you're going. I mean, that vision piece I know is so big, because, you know, without vision, the people perish, right? I mean, and that's true that's true of every person. Without vision for your life, you're not really alive. You're not really living. And so having that, the more you go into the money question for yourself of how does money serve you? How do you want it to show up in your life? Feeds right into the money is love piece. Because the money, when you get there, when you get into that consciousness, that is about service. And then being able to, you know, have your own needs taken care of. You know, the security is there. You know it is. You're not, you know, the money worry, money stress doesn't show up for you as it did. And therefore, you can actually put your life force and your mental energy and your heart energy into contributing to the world, whatever that is. And that draws us all the way back to, you know, your soul's work, your soul's purpose.
Yeah, I love the way you said that. That was great. And it's so true. And it's also true that when you're in that, you know, that place where, and we've all probably been there at some point or another, where you're really worried about how to pay those bills, and money is a giant stress, you can see where you really can't go that far without dealing with that phase. And so, yeah, I like the way you explained once you get past that what's possible.
Yeah, I mean, that's really my big cause with the summit and where I'm headed after it, because, you know, it's my understanding that, you know, the conditions on the planet in our human family And then, of course, in our natural world, that we're in a crisis and that we need more people to be soul operational, you know, and a big part of the block to getting there is this money piece, you know, and, you know, we could get into the money politics and, you know, who hoards the money, who keeps the money and all that, and all that's true and it's there. But what I've come to realize is that until you are willing to look at your own money relationship and transform it, those conditions will remain because we're all contributing to that.
Right. I totally agree with you. I think that's a huge point. And it's all very holistic. It all, you know, work, career, business, money, and people's happiness and the world's health, it's all very tied together. You can't really compartmentalize it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you and I know that, you know, as coaches and working from these holistic models and understanding that the inner is the outer, the individual, you know, the microcosm is the macrocosm and vice versa.
Right.
So, yeah, it's really amazing to see, you know, how, you know, the money is a love concept. That's kind of how I see it at first. It's just a concept for people. First wrestle that with that in their minds. And then, right, because at first there's a ton of resistance.
Oh, no.
I mean, because money is not love. Money is the root of all evil.
Right.
Money,
right.
You know, I mean,
money's holding
about
me back. Money's
holding me back. Powerful words, powerful programs. And, you know, just yesterday, the interview that aired was with Edward Mills, who runs a community called the Mystic, the Abundant Mystic. And in his interview, I just loved, so folks, you know, if you signed up today, you could still catch his interview before it expires. It'll expire on, what's today? Today's Thursday. It'll expire on Saturday. He really, it just was a beautiful call to action where he basically said, you know, particularly to those who feel, you know, they have to choose between spirituality and money. He's all about, no, you've got to actually step right into the money because that's where your soul essence, your spirit needs to go. And no more, you know, trying to hide from that, you know, or separate ourselves from it. And that was a big aha for me, this whole, you know, how much we've tried to separate ourselves from money. And you said the same, you know, just acknowledging we're in a relationship with money is to acknowledge that it's a part of us.
Right. It's always so interesting to hear people talk about it because there's so many ways to talk about it. And because we're so used to not thinking about it that way, that every time you hear a new way to describe how that relationship could go, it's inspiring because it just, it is, you know, it's still something that even now I'm trying to get used to because, I mean, you know, it's just very different than the way we think about it. But once you do get used to it, it feels really good. It's fun to think about money that way. And it changes so many things, even the simplest things. Sitting down to do your bills, it just feels completely different once you develop that ability.
I got to share a new awareness I got about that. Oh, my God, but you just saying that, it does change how you do it. What I caught about that 2 days ago when I, you know, sat down to do the bills and I could feel this, like, resistant energy, you know, I could feel the excuses coming up, like, I don't have time, I got two kids pulling at my leg, blah, 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 you know, all that resistance, like, to not do it then. And what I got was that, okay, because I took myself to money is love. All right, so practice money is love, doing your bills. And I understood that, well, when I go in, I've got all my bills and accounting stuff, you know, on my computer. So when I go inside to that account, I am literally opening my own heart.
Beautiful.
And all of these money aspects are inside my heart. And when I started to think about it that way, I was like, oh, my goodness. Well, that's a place I always feel safe.
I enjoy going inside my heart. So,
yeah, that's
you know,
a beautiful way to think about it.
Yeah, I was like, you're literally going inside your own heart, which, you know, I know more transformational come, because then, of course, my mind jumped in and was like, the cable bill is inside your heart, you know?
Yeah, but you can always flip that, too, and say, you know, go to the gratitude of, but I have cable, and this is great. Let me pay
right.
them. So.
Exactly. And then, you know, again, coming back to this sort of big picture collective, it's like, well, yeah, if I include that company inside my heart, and when I pay my bills, I'm streaming that to them, then I'm one more person that's sending them love, which might actually start to transform, I believe it would, the consciousness of the cable company, right? And what they stream back
right.
to us.
I totally agree. I love that. And I love it when unexpected money shows up, too, from that way of thinking. And it does from time to time. So,
totally. I mean, it totally does. I mean, when I've been able to, at the time when, you know, I didn't always have the term money is love, but at other times just sending the gratitude, like you said, you know, when I've been, there was, you know, I've had a lot of mix up with bills, and I don't know what that's about, where, you know, different companies have said, oh, you didn't pay. And I mean, with my cell phone, that went on for a year, and I knew I paid, and I had all these, like, had to go back and forth and, like, show them the bank statements and all this. And I was getting nowhere. And then I really went into the gratitude, and I managed to get to, like, the VP of, like, something, like someone high up in the company who finally would listen to me, and she just took it off, like, boom, you know.
Wow,
like that,
I love
you know,
that.
When you get into it,
yeah.
rather than in the fight, you know, I was, like, in the fight for so many months because I was like, what do they mean I didn't pay them? Like, I have the documentation, and they still keep saying I didn't pay them, and I've showed them, and, you know, fight, fight, fight. And then I was just like, oh, gratitude. Ease into the gratitude.
Oh, I love that. That's great. And I know it is when you're communicating with people about it, if you come at it with that that kind of emotion and energy, yeah, the
mm-hmm.
problems get fixed much quicker. I think we are all from that idea that, yeah, get on the phone and start screaming at the highest level person and they'll take it off or
right.
whatever, but it works much better the other way.
yeah, it does. So, you know, that there's an opportunity, everybody. You know, the next time you're on the phone with that customer service representative or their boss, you know, to make it a loving conversation, right? And see what happens. Connecting,
right.
you know, heart to heart, human to human.
That's right. That's great.
Yeah. So Michelle, how, you know, I know you, when we were emailing back and forth about coming on to the show, you were saying the timing was really good because you were just starting to work on a money love kit, right? Just
yeah.
in the last, we've got a minute left. I'm wondering if you could
okay.
just let people know,
sure.
you know, how to connect with you and just a little teaser about, you know, about that.
Sure. People can connect with me at limitfreelife.com.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm developing, which is not actually on the site, but you can just learn more about me on that site, but the Money
mm-hmm.
Love Kit is my – there are tools, basically, to use when you take yourself on a money date. So I like
oh,
to
nice.
Have – my suggestion is once a week for people to do this money date to develop their love relationship with money and to sit down with it for an hour in a nice, calm setting with your tea and your flowers and make it an enjoyable
mm-hmm.
experience. But what I'm doing is putting together tools for you to use so you're not just sitting there staring at a pile of paper and don't know what to do with yourself. So sort of all the aspects of finance that you might want to address while you're doing
awesome.
This. Yeah.
Awesome.
So it's going to be very fun.
It sounds like the best thing to do would be go to your website, limitfreelife.com, and from there, could they send you an email, find your email, and say, hey, I want to know more about the Money Love Kit?
They can send me an email. They can also book a complimentary session with me to talk about whatever money issues they want to talk about. If you want to, you know, discuss challenges in your life with respect to money, I'd be happy to do that, and I can certainly give you more information on the Love Kit. Yes.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Michelle. We're winding down, and I just want to thank
great.
You and thank all of our listeners, and check out the summit, the keys to your
thank you so much for having me. And I'm looking
right,
forward
Michelle.
To checking out all the replays on the summit myself. Okay.
Fantastic.
Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye.